know you wanna do it. You know I wanna do it too. Out here on the dance floor, we can make sandwiches. You can be the bun, and I can be the burger girl. I know you wanna do
Rob
it.
Rob, you just have to go.
Yeah,
that is cool.
Liquid cool.
So, Mike, the first thing Mike says is, I'm going to be muting this because I'm making grilled cheese next to my laptop, and then proceeds to just ram bread into a plastic bag nonstop next to the microphone.
I thought that would be jealous.
Do you put mayonnaise on your... Not mayonnaise. Yeah, mayonnaise on your grilled cheese. I heard people
Who
do that.
Who puts mayonnaise on their grilled cheese?
I've heard people do that.
Although I work with a dude who just seriously, like, he'll
get
french fries
at lunch, anything.
And he'll just put mayonnaise all over his french fries, like 8 packets.
Oh, jeez, that's horrible.
And he'll just suck them down.
That's like American poutine, right? It's mayonnaise.
He actually swallows it like an ostrich from that point on.
just like straight duck, just like.
Feeds it to his young. Regurgitates. Mayonnaise covered french fries to his family.
I really need to stop doing what we're doing.
We've been recording, and this is the Side Quest episode 517. We're back. What a wonderful intro that was. You get into our eating habits and our observatory tendencies towards other eaters.
It was really good.
Yeah. I'm Dolly Domofsky. I'm Dolly Domofsky. One of your wonderful hosts. Also joining me, Steven Strum.
Hey, I'm finally back on the Side Quest, and I'm already playing a video game while we're recording the Side Quest.
What a dick.
I heard those rupees. I was like, oh, I know that's Strum.
That wonderful voice is Mike Bachman.
Hey, it's me again.
Making grilled cheese. And joining us for the first time, John Eustace.
Woo! Howdy ho!
Is that how you pronounce your name,
everybody? Yes, you actually got it right.
Score!
You did it. No one ever gets it right. People question it all the time. They're like, John Eustace?
John Eustace? It's a question.
Hey, John, would you be insulted if I pointed out that the only reason I know how to pronounce your name properly is because of Courage the Cowardly Dog?
No, that's the only way I liken people to my name. They're like, oh, how do you pronounce your last name? And I go like, you know, Eustace from Courage the Cowardly Dog, and then no one of any generation remembers that.
I remember that it existed, but I don't know anything about it.
The grandma cooked
That's the true
vinegar.
Lost generation.
Yeah.
I know there was like a dog.
And he was cowardly.
Yeah, there was a dog on Courage the Cowardly Dog, Mike Bachman. Fucking goon. Jesus.
I wonder what the characters in Coward Chicken are like. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Figured it out.
I think there's like a dog.
Are you talking about Two Stupid Dogs? I'm pretty sure there was a dog on Two Stupid Dogs.
Only one, though. That's the strange part. There's
they
one
really
dog
and
Snoop
Dogg. The theme song on Two Stupid Dogs. Like, that was just like, that was the most half-assed of any theme song ever.
How did it go? I don't remember it. Do you remember
it? It was Two Stupid Dogs.
Dogs. Yeah, no, Mike, let's try that again from the top.
Unison.
We're going to take another take.
Strom, you're right here. I need you right here.
You got to accentuate the id on the stupid. Oh,
so what we're going to do, Mike, is we're going to count down to three, and then we're going to clap. And then when Deli edits this later, he's going to make it sound perfect. Right?
Okay. This is where the cut goes in?
This is where the cut goes in, yeah.
No, that cut was up here. I need that cut to be down here.
What a jerk face. Well, we're here to talk about games and apparently Two Stupid Dogs, which is coincidentally Mike and Steven's new podcast.
that's me and Eric, actually.
Oh, that's you and Eric, your lazy Sundays.
Not like your new podcast, The Angry Beavers.
Angry Beavers had a pretty fucking phoned-in theme song, too, because Angry Beavers, they don't even bother to say it more than once. They just go, Angry Beavers.
And then it's just instrumentals from there on out.
Yeah, well, that's all right.
This is
all theme songs from 90s, like, kids' cartoons.
God, you guys.
No, Angry Beavers was just like late to the mid 2000s fun.
Oh my
god. Mid 2000s, sorry.
You guys are all babies.
You need to start getting the shit right right off the bat because we cannot introduce fact checking into this show. Like that is
never.
That is the one law of Side Quest.
You just make it up. You make it sound like it's a fact.
Absolutely.
No, yeah, just
have confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just like when you ask a girl out, the key is confidence. Like you gotta believe.
I have never done that.
No. That's if only you were single. If only you were single, Mike Bachman, you would test that. I totally cock-blocked you at PAX 2 years ago. Like, oh, Mike, I'll introduce you to these girls, but man, if only you were single. And he's he's like, but I am single. I'm like, oh shit, I'm sorry.
I mean, you knew, right?
No, I didn't. I thought you were dating someone at that time. Actually, never mind.
Wait. What was the never mind? I want to know what the never mind was.
Never mind. This is a video game podcast, not about degenerates talking about their dating habits.
I'm not going to let it go. What's the never mind?
Bachman, the Nevermind was my favorite noise rock band from the mid-90s.
Was that that Nirvana song?
I think it was, yeah. Yeah, Nevermind. Okay. The Neverwhere.
It was weird because the entire song is just, oh, never mind. Oh, never mind. Oh, never mind.
Two stupid dogs. Oh, never mind. Angry Beavers. Oh, video games, guys.
Only 90s kids will understand this podcast.
Video games.
What are those?
What are those?
Is there a Two Stupid Dogs video game?
You know what?
Probably.
There probably is. Somebody take a look. What is that? Oh, you're holding up your 3DS?
Oh, yeah. I've got a 3DS XL. That's new since the last podcast.
Hey, let's talk to Steven Strum, who's got something new.
Hey, look at this. I got a couple of new things, actually.
So you traded away your 3DS and got a 3DS XL, correct?
Good move.
I did, because the 3DS is a fucking piece of junk.
Yes, thank you. Welcome.
That they sold. Well, like, when the 3DS came out, like, and I bought one, I was under the impression that when they sold me the system, that they were actually selling me the system and not the beta fucking prototype for the system. God, what a piece of worthless
from
shit
a
that was.
And product design standpoint, I did not like the 3DS, the original, and I was so happy that the XL was announced.
Yeah, the XL screen is like almost as wide as the original 3DS.
And that's true because the whole thing overall is 90% bigger, which is, you know, almost twice as large.
So are you happy with the size of the change in the going to the 3DS XL? I mean, are you
well, as you know,
what are your thoughts?
I'm always happier to have something bigger in my hands.
Yeah.
The bigger the thing that I can put between my fingers.
Just make sure you can
just
get
a real good firm squeeze.
Yeah.
Mm.
The 3DS girth.
Mm-hmm. No, actually, the 3DS has like a real good heft to it. Like, it feels weighty. It feels like a fucking piece of machinery. I want to just fucking like beat somebody to death with it, like because I'm so violent because I play video games. And the edges are rounded instead of that horrible fucking box shape that the regular 3DS has. I'm still not thrilled about the circle pad. I think the circle pad is still too slippery.
Yep.
But just about everything about the 3DS XL other than that is superior. Oh, and another thing that I wish they had changed is I wish that the cartridges didn't load on that stupid spring loading thing because
they pop out all the time, don't they?
Yep. No, I fucking sprung loaded that shit across the room like a fucking champagne cork twice today in as many hours playing Zelda and lost my progress.
Oh, so there's a Kickstarter going on right now for someone who's developed a little holder for the 3DS. Basically, it goes in.
It's called duct tape.
What's it? Duct tape. Yeah, it's true. That's another one. No, it's a little. Kind of cartridge slot filler, you know, that little like half crescent thumb area on the where the cartridge is. It's a little plug or something that goes into there that I'm totally picking up.
It's like the stacked soap of cartridges. Like you get down to the nub
stupid,
and you just slap
stupid
it
move
in.
By Nintendo. Stupid move by Nintendo.
I mean, that's why I download all my 3DS games mostly. Yeah. Like, I have Animal Crossing downloaded, Phoenix Wright downloaded, like, I have everything downloaded, basically.
You have more faith in Nintendo's ability to provide digital content than any man alive.
I only do that for games that I know I'm going to want to play forever. Like, yeah. I'll do it with Animal Crossing, because yeah, exactly. I always want to come back to that. And, I want to resist the temptation to trade in.
I wish I would have done that with Fire Emblem, because I still play Fire Emblem, like, twice a week because of the street passes.
Yeah.
I play Phoenix. I have Phoenix Wright on because I've never been able to beat one of those because I've always put in new Phoenix Wright games. Not in Phoenix Wright games. New games in and never go back to the Phoenix Wright game. So now, since it's always on there, like if I'm just bored, I could just put it on. Like I was on a plane last week, and that's all I did basically was play Phoenix Wright.
I think
so. It was just on there.
It's kind of weird that you mentioned that because Phoenix Wright, the HD iPad versions were on sale for $5. You could get the first three games for $5 total. And I just shotgunned the first Phoenix Wright game over Thanksgiving break. I had never, ever picked up a Phoenix Wright before.
Hmm.
And nice. Holy crap, that's a hell of a game.
That's a hell of a game, yeah. The new one's good, too. So just got to wait a couple more weeks for you to get to that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's got a mature rating, doesn't it, the new Phoenix Wright?
Yeah.
Yes, which is so bizarre.
Yeah, they added fatalities, which I thought was weird.
It was like, hold it!
Yeah, it was so bizarre that they put Scorpion in there and made an entire Sandy Hook trial.
He's like, judge, permission to finish him? Permission granted.
Like, you know how you can yell into the DS in order to do the objections and all? You actually yell Kali Mal at one point while you're grabbing a steel PD.
You yell racial slurs into the 3DS.
Guys, I will say I'm actually really disappointed in the Vita version of Phoenix Wright because they changed all the blood to look like sweat that's coming off of the characters, and it's just
it's called Tearaway.
It's not the same. Yeah, like I thought it was really weird that they changed the name. I'm glad somebody brought that up because that really struck me as odd.
Oh goodness! All right, so you've been doing the Zelda jam, haven't you?
Me?
Yes.
Yeah. I've been playing a lot of games, actually. Like, back to my old fucking lengthy game list self. But yeah, I've been playing a lot of Zelda.
Yeah, we'll stick to the 3DS stuff right now. So you've got Zelda. Tell me, like, your thoughts. Because I have my thoughts about Zelda, but tell me yours. And I'll tell you why you're wrong.
It's actually probably...
Because 300% of ass is still butt.
What?
Just what? Kidding. Just kidding.
I was gonna say it's so good. Don't do that.
No, I'm just kidding. That's
no.
Don't do that. Like,
explain that, Steven. Explain that quote.
So me and Dally were talking on Twitter just a minute ago about a friend of ours who's just a ray of fucking rainbows and sunshine.
It's Eric. It's Eric, guys. It's Eric.
Oh, got it. Eric. Yeah. Okay.
Eric, and basically, I said to Eric. I DM'd Eric and said, man, this year has been fucking insane for video games. And like kind of said, like the fucking PS4 and the Xbox are selling like crazy. The Wii U is going nuts. You know,
it hasn't been that great.
No, he said, basically he said, the Ouya has been weird. And then the Oculus Rift has been weird. And the Vita is still fucking up. And I said, the Vita's pretty much doing the same thing this year as it did last year. And it's basically just the other handheld console. And he said, no, it sells worse and worse all the time. It's a miracle that thing is still even out there. And so I went to Media48 and pulled the numbers for Vita sales month over month from this year to last year. And the Vita has sold three times as many consoles in Japan this November as opposed to last November. And that's not including the Vita TV. And Eric said, finally finished things off by saying, but 300% of ass is still butt. And that is the favorite. Eric's still the original.
Oh, man. I'm on a shirt. I want that Vita TV out here real quick because I'm going to hop on that so fast.
If you have a PS4, it's going to be really damn good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it works.
Yeah. Apple TV for your PS4.
Yeah.
Hmm.
All right, so Zelda.
Zelda. We'll get back to the Vita. No, trust me, we'll get back to Vita later.
We'll touch Vita. I got one of those.
We'll touch both screens.
Mike Bachman has like 18 of them.
Yeah.
The Reader Touch.
Oh, my.
Oh.
Poor Mike Bachman as Vitas.
Poor Mike Bachman. He never gets to touch his rear anymore. Zelda. So this is actually the first Zelda game that has engrossed me immediately since Oracle of Ages, which is like, Oracle of Ages came out like, 15 years ago?
Maybe some more, crazy thing.
Yeah.
That was like a Game Boy Color game. But
to be honest, that was actually my first Zelda game.
Was it really?
Which Oracle of Ages?
Yeah, Oracle of Ages.
Wow.
Ages.
Oracle of Ages is a hell of a game.
Mm-hmm.
God, I just wish that I could get into it. I tried. I have them both on 3DS, but I just
articulation.
In regards to this Zelda, I'm actually starting to wonder if I just don't like to play Zelda games except on handhelds, because I own every Zelda game ever made, and I only ever finished the handheld ones. I finished Oracle of Ages, I finished A Link to the Past, I finished
Minish Cap.
Ocarina of Time. I have not played Minish Cap, I have it, but I've not.
Oh, that game's awesome.
That game
is great.
Yeah, I have it through the 3DS Ambassadors, so I'm going to get around to it eventually. And I played Ocarina of Time, but the first time I ever beat it was on the 3D version, which I just shotgunned when it first came out. And this one, I'm just blasting through it, and it's great because it is so different for a Zelda game, which is crazy to me, and I guess it makes somebody pointed out that it's probably the name probably indicates that, like, it's a link between worlds, it's a link between them doing what they've been doing with Nintendo games, which is Nintendo games in the last 2 years or so have been fucking it up nonstop, and this one is just like them saying, like, we're gonna link between that fucking version of Nintendo and the original version of Nintendo, which was good Nintendo, which was the Nintendo that gave us Zelda 2, which, you know, maybe not the best Zelda game ever, but it was a Zelda that tried to be different and did a lot of crazy things, just like Super Mario 3D Land, which is basically Mario 2, and it did a bunch of crazy things different. And so they're trying things, and they're not fucking inundating me with hundreds of tutorials and unskippable text and stuff like that. I was talking to Eric on our Lazy Sunday Gaiden show, and plug, and I said to him,
get those dollar bills.
I said to him, time to dungeon in this game is like 7 minutes.
It is, yeah.
Whoa,
dude!
Within the first 7 minutes, yep.
If Nintendo's definition of trying something new is put Mario in a cat suit, though, they can just keep doing what they've been doing.
They won.
But it's like, I'm not even saying like it's them doing something new. I'm saying it's more like them going back to a time when they did new things. Like, it's literally them taking that half measure.
Anything's new if you hadn't done anything before. So they can go back to the stuff they were doing originally.
Super Mario 2 is, like, very different than Super Mario 1, right? Like, it didn't even start off as the same game. What I'm saying is, like, they're in that Nintendo...
Yeah, actually, the original Super Mario 2 was almost exactly the same as Super Mario 1, just a lot higher. Yeah,
but Super Mario Brothers 2, whatever, what we have in America right now that is called Super Mario Brothers 2. And, it's Nintendo asking permission to do things differently because...
Hold on a second. That's Mike Bachman warming things up in the background, by the way, guys.
Hey, I warned you ahead of time. This is my MO now. Like, this is how I do podcasts. Always be eaten. Always be eaten 24/7.
The podcast.
ABE, always be eaten. Honest Abe. Oh, Abe. Mike Bachman. Mike Abe Bachman.
Every day.
You know, so one of the things that I'm really enjoying onto that point, I guess, Stephen, is that Link Between Worlds it's a lot of what you remember Zelda being, like, in your head, what you think it was or how you felt back then, even though it's not a lot of the same stuff, but it's everything you kind of remember. Like, for me especially, playing this game brought back a ton of memories of Link to the Past, which is my favorite Zelda game. And one of my favorite, maybe my favorite game of all time. And this brought those memories back. But at the same time, I know it's not the same game. It's doing things that are very different. You know, the item rental and buying the items and the tools, that's fantastic. They should do that for you know, every Zelda hero, well, not until we get sick of
the
it.
The item rental is awful. Buying the items in the order that you want them is cool. The item rental is terrible.
The item rental is great because it turns it into fucking Dark Souls, man.
Yeah.
You lose but everything.
2013, the Dark Souls vacation of video games. You have fucking Link to the Between Worlds, and you have fucking Need for Speed Rivals, which is the Dark Souls of racing games.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, I could talk about that.
It doesn't turn it into Dark Souls, because Dark Souls,
oh,
like,
I can talk. Oh,
there's a chance that you won't be able to get your souls back after you die. With Link, like, with Link Between Worlds, you just, it's a chore. Like, oh, I lost my bow. Now I have to go back and get it before I can go back into this dungeon again, because I need it to solve puzzles.
Same thing with Need for Speed. You just lose all your points. There's no way to gain your points back. You just go, oh, you're done. There's no way to...
That is, like, my only gripe about... I love Link Between Worlds, but that's my only gripe, because it's not fun.
I didn't have an issue with it, because that whole first section is so easy.
Sure, right. But it's just, like, as a mechanic, there's no reason for it to be there.
Well, I think it's there in order to make money matter in the Zelda games, which it has never done before.
Yeah.
Which there is something to be said for the idea of, like, well, if money doesn't matter in the video game, instead of trying to rebuild the video game from scratch so money does matter, why not just get rid of money in that video game? Like, there was a joke running around for a little while there about, like, game designers, and it was like this email, like this fake email thread of like this video game designer who said, like, man, we should put a sweet fireball in this video game, but now the QA testers are saying the fireball doesn't do anything, so let's make it so that there are certain enemies that can only be hit by the fireball, and now everybody's complaining that the game is too hard because you have to use the fireball on them, so let's make the game easier. Wait, we put out this game, now everybody hates the game because it's too easy and they say it's for babies. Well, whatever, fuck this game, I'm quitting, you guys can go fuck yourselves, I'm a genius, and go away, or, you know, something along those lines. But I think that Nintendo doesn't necessarily fall into that same trap here, just because they do a lot of stuff that, like, paves your way to make that, like, the ability to buy and rent stuff much easier than it probably should otherwise be. Like, going back to your house would suck if this game didn't institute fast travel.
Like, right.
Yeah, fast travel
makes this game completely different.
It's like, very much...
This is a lot of, like...
No, go ahead.
Go ahead. Okay. this is a lot like... Nintendo recently... Oh, why? Nintendo recently has been like, there's a distinction between dumbing something down and streamlining it, and Nintendo has been really, really bad about dumbing things down of late. Like, Mario Sticker Star, it just, like, constantly inundates you with, like,
text
notifications, and, like,
horrible.
This is how you do this.
Oh, yeah.
An 8-hour tutorial. Animal Crossing does the same thing. All these games do that shit. This one, instead of dumbing it down, it assumes you know how to dungeon. Like you, if you're playing this game, you know to dungeon. But it makes your ability to dungeon easier in such a way that, like, doesn't waste your time. You
and
know,
enjoyable. It makes it enjoyable.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah.
So I haven't played this game, and I don't know much. I haven't seen much video about it. What is, like, I don't understand, like, why is there this... Like, why does it make it more enjoyable if it's just you can move faster and you get to buy the item sooner?
One of the biggest complaints of the last few Zeldas is that they were a chore to get what you want in the game, right? And I think Skyward Sword, let me give you an example. Almost every Zelda game, it's like, hey, in order to get the bottle that you need to get to fill up the potion, you're going to have to go catch 17 spiders, but they're scattered all throughout Hyrule, so good luck trying to get those.
Okay.
This one is just like, hey, you got 200 coins, here's your goddamn bottle. You want the hook shot, you don't have to go into a tower to get it, which makes it
puzzles
very easy.
In dungeons where it's like, it's like, oh, clearly this wall with the crack, I've got to get bombs to blow it up, but, like, they're going to make you go through all this exposition to get to where the point where you get the bombs, and it's like, you know I need bombs. Yeah. It's not interesting to me to go try and find those bombs.
And
give them to me.
And the great thing about, the cool thing about it, at least from the standpoint that I'm looking at it, is it's much more, it feels a little bit more open worldish in that aspect, in that you can kind of do, that soup looks so damn good.
You don't even know what's in it. All you see is a bowl soup with a spoon.
Soup
you're like,
good.
It's like, what's the soup du jour? Oh, it's the soup of the day. Soup yeah, that sounds good. I'll have that.
But that whole kind of opening.
I think one of the important things about this too is it just like it's Nintendo getting out of your way.
Yes,
to just
exactly.
do what you want. Like,
exactly.
There is still item gating, but the item gating is only in terms of like, do you want to do this dungeon? Then you have to spend the same amount of money to rent this item as you would have to spend on that other item. So you can tackle all of this stuff in any order that you want, and you can just play the game that you want to play. You know, you can make your own story.
Yep.
But yeah, so how does that work with the story? Like, there's the general, like, get the Triforce, defeat Ganon story, I assume, right?
It's
so far, no.
How far are you, Steven?
I'm in low rule.
Okay, so you're in low rule. So you're going after the sages. It's not spoiling much, but
I mean, it's Zelda, so like, what do we care? But instead of like getting the pieces of the Triforce, you're rescuing the seven sages that are scattered across dungeons across the world. And instead of Ganon, it's this guy named Yuga who is turning people into paintings.
Yeah. Okay. I forgot about that whole 2D thing.
Yeah.
I remember that from the trailer. It was like you turn 2D and walk across the wall.
Yeah, it looks stupid, but it's so good.
I actually think it looks great. I think like the visual
design. In the trailer, it looked like a really dumb idea, but once playing it, it's good.
It's a really cool element. Okay. You know, great ways to kind of traverse around the terrain, and you start to figure the world map out as almost like a puzzle. I love the fact you can do it all out of order, and to the point where I was able to kind of once you complete the first three dungeons, you can start to level up your weapons and stuff. I was able to level up a bunch of my weapons and tools before I even got into low rule, which was really cool.
So that's another cool thing about the game is that because the game is so much more open and so much more like it allows you to explore so much more. Right off the bat, you can basically go anywhere because you can buy any item. They give you excuses to do that. There are these like little hidden snail things scattered across the world. And if you every 10, there's 100 of them, and every 10 you collect, you unlock the ability to upgrade one of the weapons that you own. Not the ones that you rented, but the ones that you own. And so it gives you like a gameplay reason to actually want to explore the world and find all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hey, how's that bull? How's that bull, Bachman?
It's pretty good. This is buffalo chicken soup.
Oh, so good.
Buffalo's got wings.
Just so good. It's available at your local Kroger. I'd rate this. This is about a 7 out of 10. I'd call it a buy.
Call it a buy. Thumbs up.
I only buy 9 out of 10s. Sorry. Yeah. No good.
Pop, Bachman. Pop.
I don't got all that money, son.
And that music, man.
Video games.
That Zelda music is awesome. It's so good.
Mm-hmm. So the low rule theme is probably one of my favorite Zelda songs of this generation. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Yep.
Not that that's saying much because there hasn't been another Zelda game this generation, but one of my favorite Zelda games in a long time. Yeah. How about that?
It just makes me excited for, you know, hopeful, for whatever they're going to do for the Wii U version.
I'm predicting this weekend we'll see.
I don't think so, actually.
We'll see it this weekend.
This weekend we're going to find out that Cranky Kong.
That's exactly it. I've been saying we're going to find out Cranky Kong's Donkey Kong. Either that or another new Smash Brothers character.
Cranky Kong's and Smash Brothers.
We'll get a date. We'll probably just get a date.
Next year's the year of Cranky Kong. 2014. Year of Cranky Kong.
Cranky Kong just has been underappreciated for so long.
I'm writing that down as our podcast title, by the way.
Woo, I did it. But.
All right, so Zelda, pick that shit up. It's awesome.
I actually have two things more that I wanted to say about it, just to so I can self-flate myself a little bit more. But, the other two things about Zelda that are really important, they both tie into the ability to turn yourself into a 2D painting thing. In that context, it's another great example of how Nintendo is not holding your hand throughout the entire game. In another fucking Nintendo game, if this was like Super Mario Superstar or whatever, it would be like, oh, look, here's this big yellow glowing wall. These are the yellow glowing walls right. that you can turn 2D into. It's like, nah, son, you can just turn 2D whenever you want at all times. And if you fuck up and go someplace that you really – it's just a dead end, then that's your own fault and you have to walk right back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's also interesting to point out, too, that like this is billed as like, you know, A Link to the Past 2, but that whole idea of switching from the above the camera, God, what the hell is it? That bird's eye view, yep. isometric view to the 2D view is another pretty, you know, stark reference to Zelda 2.
Yep.
With, you know, going into the dungeons and it turning into a side-scrolling 2D game. So I actually think that this is secretly a Zelda 2 throw-up, not much of it, not a Link to the Past throw-up, even though it does use the like Hyrule overworld.
But it's great.
That was all I had to say.
I actually don't think that.
You don't think that?
Boom. Bomb drop.
Shots fired.
Shots fired.
But yeah, no, it's so dope.
It's so dope. It's so dope.
Yeah. It's I want to so pick fresh, it up. So clean.
Yeah.
So what? I want to hear from John. John, you've been, and I know Mike's been playing something similar. You guys are playing the same game, actually.
Which game?
As have I. The Marios.
Ooh. Oh, the Marios. Oh, the
no,
Marios.
No, I threw
Marios
that in. So garbage.
I thought you meant Wind Waker.
Oh, I haven't played Wind Waker, the HD version yet. I own it, but I haven't played it yet.
It's really good. I've never played Wind Waker before, but we can talk about it later.
Then you are the demographic for that.
Yes, I am. I am. I didn't even get the Switch.
Welcome to
sale.
Nintendo. Our doors are open.
Yeah.
No, fuck, man. Welcome to Nintendo. If you're not nostalgic for our old shit, hey, here's an opportunity to buy it again so that you can be.
Exactly. You can use your Bitcoins this time.
No, but I have like a release day copy of the original Wind Waker, just never played it.
Oh.
Just I have the gold disc and everything. I found it when I was home for Thanksgiving. But yeah, Mario. I played a lot of Mario. Because of just friends over Thanksgiving and also with the lady friend here. Like, we play through most of the game together, and it's spectacular. That easily shot up for me. I didn't like it as first as much because at first it was like, okay, didn't seem as, like, interesting or, like, as new as, like, the entire internet world was saying. Like, it's just seemed like the 3D Land game for the 3DS. That I played.
3D Land is so good.
3D Land is my third favorite Mario game.
There you go.
Really? Yeah, Ben, you should definitely.
The name, Third Mario Land.
And this game, it builds so much more upon that game while still keeping so many of the tropes from like pretty much every Mario game you can think of. Mm-hmm. It carries over ideas from that, which
and
makes sense.
And then also has cats.
And also has cats. The cat suit is, I don't like, one, adorable. Two.
You pronounce bullshit wrong.
Two, I can't pronounce for shit. Three. Everything's cat in that game. The bullet bills are cats. I don't give spoilers, but some enemies are cats.
Cat
you're a cat.
Tell me.
Cats
okay,
are
Bowser's
cats.
A cat.
Bowser's a cat. Okay,
the Bowser car is a cat.
Done. Here. Where? No. Stop talking, John. I will give you my $60. Now give me a copy of 3D Land.
Give me. I'll give you. Yeah, when that reveal happened towards the end of the game. Sorry to spoil that for anybody, but it's
I'm
awesome.
Sorry.
I'm sorry for telling you something awesome happened.
Do they call?
Oh, spoiler, yeah. Spoiler. Aerith dies. Oh, spoiler.
I'm sorry. I just kind of think that Cat Mario is a pussy. Is all. Get it?
What about
get
Cat
it?
Toad?
I get your click.
Yeah, I get it.
Cat Toad is as irrelevant as regular Toad. Let's be honest.
Yeah, but he's like, I played most of the game as Toad, and I felt bad doing it. Because at times I'd like switch over to Mario just to be like, well, this is a Mario game. I shouldn't be playing as Toad. Like,
no,
you can't
son,
be playing as
you're Luigi. What are you doing?
I played as Luigi just for posterity's sakes. The problem is that everyone has their own special ability, but really the only two useful abilities are Peach.
Yes.
Which her floaty ability, because in the 3D world, if you're playing with someone who doesn't really understand like 3D space that well, you mean at times I got confused with the 3D space? You can just float up and it's like an easy way out. And spoilers again, Rosalind, you can unlock her, and she has the automatic attack that she can attack on the ground.
Hold on one second. Mike, are there kids crying in your house over there?
Oh shit, Dally, I thought that was your house because have a kid.
No, there's actually a cat, which I didn't really do anything about it because it's appropriate. I feel like this adds to the conversation rather than detracts.
So yeah. Is it just me? Well, first of all, that the cat suit is the most overpowered Mario suit on the like ever created.
It is.
Absolutely.
It's just it, and then Peach Kitty, freaking that that's the most overpowered character ever in a Mario game.
It is. It
well,
is
because girls Which is... need to play as somebody who makes it easy for them to play, right? Like. Girls only play as girls.
Oh, right, of course.
They're
right.
Not good at video games. So.
But at least it's kind of nice to see Peach in a game since, like, the Peach DS game. And the Peach DS game, I forgot what it was called.
Good.
But I remember that being
Super Princess Peach.
Super Princess Peach. That game was a lot of fun, and it's nice to at least have her in a game that you can play as.
Super Princess Peach had a legitimate, like, sexist overtones, though. Like, we're all having fun here right now, but legitimately, Super
it was
Princess
all
Peach
like,
was designed.
All of her powers like, were emotions.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Instead of boxing gloves, she had oven mitts.
No, all of her powers were emotions, and the game was like stupid easy because it was for girls.
You know, the thing that I hated too is that like, I don't know if you noticed this, but there's like a bunch of videos on YouTube of people that are like, you can play as Peach in Super Mario 3D World. Misogyny is over.
We did it, guys.
It's like we have a black president and you can play with Peach and Mario. Like we're culturally we just come so far.
It wouldn't have happened in George Bush's
also,
era.
The kill,
yeah, and then the
gone.
At the
in George
game,
Bush's era we got we had two toads.
No.
Yeah, Bush and Cheney. Am I right? Political.
I was actually legitimately impressed with 3D Land when at the end of the game, Toad takes off of his coastal hat and an afro, and it turns out he was black the whole time. And that the final Mario was racially inclusive.
Yeah. Actually, it was Captain Toad who took off his hat because Captain Toad, what up? That's my new rapper name. Captain Yo, Captain Toad. But those were the best parts of the game, I feel like.
But yeah, so Princess Peach. Peach is massively overpowered. Peach Kitty is the
Peach,
only character
Peach
to play
is,
as.
I wouldn't even have so many problems with the cat suit, except they give it to you every 2 seconds. That's
yeah,
like
that's true.
There's
they
other
force it
there's
on
other
you.
Suits and power ups, but you're constantly getting those bells.
Yeah, exactly.
My problem with that is that they have such a great power up in that game, such as the cherries, that are so underutilized, and it's
oh,
such
the
a great
cherries.
Yes.
The
double cherries. Sorry, yeah, the double cherries, and that's such a great power up and such a great idea, especially when you have multiple people, because then once you have like 3 people playing the game and you all have like 8 people on screen, it's just it reminded me of the original New Super Mario Brothers, where it's just pure chaos on the screen and you try to figure out who
chaos.
You are basically.
It's actually fun chaos this time though.
Yeah. Yeah, as opposed to those.
The thing about the double I have not played the game yet, but the thing about the double cherries is that every time I see people using the double cherries, it looks like a hack for a Mario game. It looks,
right.
like, it looks like that version of Mario that, like, your best friend said his uncle who works at the Nintendo factory really saw. I was like, nah, son, like, you gotta understand. Like, in this new game, you're gonna play 8 Marios. You can turn into a cat.
And it's only on PC.
Hey, man, like, I got a ROM hack. Just check out my Angel Fire page. Just check out my Angel Fire page. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool. No, totally
but there
legal.
Is
it's legal. Come on.
There are definitely stages that lend itself to multiplayer, and that was kind of my problem with that, is that it doesn't really differentiate like levels that are mainly for or like it's hard to describe, but like mainly for multiplayer and levels that are like you should really play this alone, because if you played with this with other people, you're not going to become friends with those, or you're basically going to not be friends with those people at the end of the night.
I think
like there's a level like a. Yeah. There's a Mario Kart level that is like almost impossible if you have more than one person, because as soon as one person lags behind, they get off screen and then they die. And then basically they're just watching you the rest of the time. And it's like, if it's a Mario Kart level, there is a race element to it, but let everyone else play.
Super Luigi had its time, man. Like, yes. 99 seconds or whatever are yes. gone.
Yes. I mean, that's one of the only...
Definitely,
that's
really, but...
Yes.
That's the yes. only thing that's keeping me no. from...
Yes.
Dally.
Yes.
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 Yes. Mike. Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Yes.
Peach Steven. Kitty. Peach Kitty.
Yes.
No, yes.
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 It's the name of the band. Yes.
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 Maybe.
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe.
So maybe? Super Mario yes. 3D World.
No, it's great.
No. Mike, no.
No. Yes.
No, yes.
But and then I'm also struggling with the idea of like
garbage, so whatever.
Would you tell someone to buy Wii? What? I'm thinking to myself, garbage, would I ever
play it, so whatever.
Yeah, there you go. You won't play it.
So yeah, I can't recommend it to be like buy a Wii U for this game. Right. That's the downside.
Mike did that actually.
What?
Yeah. No,
Wii U for Mario.
No, John is just losing his mind because this is his first time exposed to raw side quest energy.
No, that's the thing. Like,
I'm sweating over here. I'm just like, I'm a mess.
It's
like you don't know this, but like...
It's like those Mexican Cobalt 60 thieves. Like, he's going to do this podcast, and then 2 days later, he's going to be found dead.
No, I knew I was going to have to buy one at some point for Smash. So I just went ahead and just jumped the gun now so that I could play that. Plus, no, everybody's got their shiny new PS4s and Xbox Ones, and it's like, eh. Yeah, I want a new toy.
I can't afford the good ones, but I'll get
yeah, the Wii U is not that shiny.
It's actually too shiny. It's far too shiny.
It's a toy.
It is mad shiny.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my Wii U next to my PS4 right now, and it's the Wii U does look a little bit sad next to it.
It looks like
It does look like, oh, just play me. Come on, you want to, right?
The Wii
U looks like
a fat jelly bean.
You have the Schick Razor over in the PS4, and you have the sad jelly bean in the Wii U.
Yeah.
Oh.
Then the Xbox One, which is just like my TV, basically. It's like the size of my TV.
But, bros, check this out. I had my Wii U. I had it over at my girlfriend's house, and I was bringing it home. And so I went to work that morning, and it was still in my car. And I was like, all right. And I grabbed it, and I hooked it up under my desk, and I was playing with the gamepad. It was so good. I didn't do anything that day.
Pretty damn cool.
I played my Wii U on a plane because I was going home for Thanksgiving, and I put it on as a carry-on. And I was like, wait, there's like a Volt thing on my chair.
Nice.
So I plugged it in, and it worked. And yeah. I was just like, meh.
And it's not, you know, it's not an Xbox, so the movement didn't cause your discs to get ripped.
Turning it on didn't cause your discs to explode.
No. See, all that sounds like nice. My problem with the remote play on the Wii U to the gamepad is that like it's not ubiquitous across all games. Like that is a huge mistake on Nintendo's part, not making that like a fucking
mandatory.
Wait, there's games where that don't work?
Yeah, there are. There are a few.
Oh, I think Sonic doesn't work for it.
Oh, yeah, but Sonic nobody wants to play that piece of garbage anyway.
What game?
Sonic.
Yeah, no. Lost World? That's not even a game.
But Mario,
that was
Mario lets you do it.
Didn't seem too bad.
Mario lets you do it, and it's great for football because you'd be watching football on your TV and then play Mario, getting like the green stars, trying to unlock the next level. That's what I was doing.
It's even better when your daughter's watching Yo Gabba Gabba and you're trying to just beat one more stage of Mario, right?
You know what? My favorite feature about the Wii U is it's on the web browser. You know, you hold the button and it closes those curtains on the TV screen, and you just hear the drum roll, and you get a whole bunch of people in there to watch, and they all guess what's on there. But when the curtains open, meat spin. it's like surprise. You're all looking at Goatsy.
You're all looking at Goatsy. You're all looking at Pornhub.
So far, my favorite part of voting Wii U, and I've
only you're already doing that.
I've only owned a Wii U for like 2 weeks now, and I only started playing it actually for the first time last night. My favorite use for the Wii U so far has been when I turn on my PS4 and I pull out my Vita and I play Remote Play on every game on PlayStation 4 because those are all mandatory, and I can do that with every single game that I own on that system. That's my favorite part of the Wii U so far.
That functionality is
when I do that.
For that functionality for PS4 justifies the Vita's existence.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, the best part. The best part about the
I don't think it needed to two because I personally.
Well, think of it this way: that you're getting that same functionality for you're getting that same functionality for $600 in the PS4 and Vita. $300 for the Wii U.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two Wii U's.
Yeah,
you just get two Wii U's.
You get two Wii U's. Duct tape them together.
Because that's the only way you can get a second game pack.
They call that the Wii W.
you're getting that functionality for half that price on Wii U, but with the PlayStation 4 you get games too. Like you get a console that plays video games that have come out and are purchasable.
I'll keep waiting for those games to come out. That'd be good.
Yeah.
I don't know, son. Mike,
I've been looking at that release list and I haven't seen anything too exciting.
Steven's like, I've been playing Madden.
Dude,
I'm playing that Knack, son.
My buddy got his Xbox One, and
I'm all up on that Knack.
But buddy,
you know what? I have actually been playing the dick out of some Assassin's Creed 4. Like,
that game. So have I.
That game is so fresh, so clean.
What were you saying, Mike?
I
want to tell you the story.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, my buddy got his Xbox One. And he was like, I told him that I bought a Wii U, and he's like, have fun playing your one game. And I was like, wait, what's your justification for that Xbox One? And he's like, Killer Instinct, Dead Rising 3, Battlefield 4. And I was like, okay, two of those games got like a 72. And the other game is available on literally every other platform ever. I'll play that on my 3DS, thank you very much.
And it's broken on all of them.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, what are you playing? And I like listed off like six games. That's an exaggeration. But like I listed off like four games that were all in the 90s. I'm
like, like Earthbound, Super Metroid, Punch Out.
Oh, I can play Earthbound.
You can. No, but that's another thing too, is like you guys are saying like you can't play anything on PlayStation 4, but in this $600 analogy, you also get a Vita, and the Vita's got a pretty sizable library right now, including Tearaway.
So let's talk about Tearaway.
Tearaway is real good. I finished it the other day.
Good conversation. Let's talk about it. No, I'm just kidding. explain Tearaway. Explain Tearaway to me.
Tearaway is not a platformer.
I see videos of it and I go, looks like a lame platformer to me.
Give me
looks
your
like
elevator
Little Big
pitch,
Planet,
Steven.
But 3D.
Yeah.
Well, like,
let me ask you this: how do you feel about Knack? Because this is just like that, except portable. no, it's the reason that Tearaway is good is because that so in the game you play you as a you, which is like their word for God within the world of Tearaway. And
me.
The you in my pocket,
me.
You could play
you
as
me
as a Tearaway.
We would like Mike. To play
with you.
We would like to play with you. On
I don't know why to get on this chat.
Copyright.
We would like to play.
We have. Oh, by the way, guys, we have a special surprise. Satoru Iwata is on our chat. Satoru, how's it going?
We would like to play.
Stop it right there before it gets racist. Nope.
Mike
nope,
Bachman
nope,
is the best Satoru
hey,
Iwata.
What did Miyamoto do when he was after his workout?
What?
He got a drink of Iwata.
No, seriously, they're lovers. So in Tearaway, in the PlayStation Vita hot new exclusive that is not available on Wii U, you are you, and whenever that you like appear within the game, just end it now. Just blow my fucking head off.
So it's basically what you're saying is it's a ripoff of Iggy's Wrecking Ball for the N64.
So you're saying it's basically, hey, you Pikachu.
No.
This is like Phantasy Star Online 3 Card Revolution.
Episode 2.
This is like the... Mm-hmm.
Yep.
This is like that game that came with the iToy, right?
It's,
You guys remember the iToy, right?
Remember that, guys? Come on.
Is that new Jonathan Blow Jam?
Steven's so upset right now. Tear it away, Steven. Tear it away.
Tear it away.
Tear it off like a fucking bandage. So in the video, Tear Away, you play as yourself, and you manifest within the world as yourself in the form of the sun. In the sun, in the game, like, it uses the rear-facing or front-facing camera on the Vita to show you in the game. And when that happens, because we are all fat, horrible, pox-covered gamers making our gamer faces while we play video games, it always happens unexpectedly. So you're always sitting in the dark in like this fucking like poorly lit room with very little indication of like the like that you're going to be on the screen really quickly. So you just get your like half mouth open, fucking teared up face in front of the camera every single time, and it's like this big, bright, sunny, horrible world that is suddenly blighted by this fucking chud that appears on screen, like glaring down at the world.
Oh, so yeah, what you're telling me is that it's gonna look like my bathroom. It's gonna look like my bathroom wall all the time, right? Because that's the only place I play portable games.
It's like I always wanted Teletubbies to be.
Yeah,
that's what I was gonna say. It's pretty much Teletubbies, except you're the baby in the sun.
Exactly. It totally does that. You also manifest in other ways as well, like your fingers. So it uses the rear touch, but it does it actually in a very smart way. Which
I use the rear touch thing about the too, rear touch, if you know what I mean.
No, actually, Mike, we already made that joke about you while you were gone, heating up your burrito or whatever.
He's
just
a burrito touch.
Don't worry, we got you covered.
It's called soup. It's called buffalo chicken soup.
The rear toe touch. Yeah. The
no,
burrito soup.
No, no, Steven. Keep going.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, yes. So it uses retouch and I'll just go off onto a bigger point about the game, which is that it uses every aspect of the Vita hardware, literally, including the rear touch, the front facing camera, the rear facing camera, the front touch, every button, and everything gets used at some point or another, including even the gyroscope. And one of the things that it does, which is actually like probably one of my favorite uses in the game, is that it kind of justifies rear touch by basically pointing out how to do rear touch right. Which the worst thing about rear touch on the Vita is that you constantly, if you're holding the Vita, you're either constantly touching the rear touch all the time and therefore doing the things that you would be that you don't want to be doing. Like you don't know if you're slipping on, your fingers are slipping past that little fucking groove that they expect you to keep your fingers in and touching into it and screwing yourself up. You don't know if, you know, X thing is going to happen because you don't know where your finger is because you can't see your finger. So what they do is that every time that you're going to use rear touch, it actually just shows on the screen a texture that is the same pattern as the rear touch, that like circle, triangle, square, X thing. And those are the only times rear touch ever activates. So you're always given warning ahead of time that you're about to use rear touch. And the things that you use it for are like your fingers will burst up through the ground and touch around and stuff. And it actually has like photographed fingers that appear.
You know, I actually tell my girlfriend to warn me before she uses rear touch.
Steven just can't.
My God.
Steven's done.
He just leaves. Mike says that and then just leaves the screen, like as if he just let that go. Just like, here you guys go.
Yeah, he's gone for 30 seconds. Mike's gone for 30 seconds and then he's just replaced by that cat's face that he had in the background before. And then the rest of the podcast is just that cat.
Surprise, it was the cat the whole time.
Yes.
Surprise, you were wearing your own cat's skin to climb poles better.
Surprise, you were the baby in the sun.
It uses every single aspect of the Vita in some way, and all of it is really well done, and it does so to make you completely in control of the game at all times. Like, it is a god game where you also play as a little dude, like a little iota or a taw, and it gives you absolute control over both the world, in that you are, by the end of the game, you have completely, like, altered everything about the world by, like, making cardboard cutouts of things, and, like, you'll run into a squirrel, and the squirrel will say, I need a crown because I'm the king of the squirrels, so make me a crown. And you literally pull out, like, little pieces of digital construction paper and cut out a crown for him and make jewels on it and stuff like that. And that thing will manifest in the game world as a rendered object. And you do that throughout the entire game, and you, like, skin textures on items and all kinds of things with your cameras, and you make things, and you're just – the whole world by the end of it is completely authored by you in such a way that really makes you feel like you've had a genuine impact on that game world. And that's kind of what's so great about it. The platforming itself is not a huge part of the game, but when it does pop off, it's actually very, very strong. There are certain segments where it actually gets surprisingly difficult based on how easy the rest of the game is. But even when it does get difficult, it's not because the controls are too slippery or whatever, like a Little Big Planet or something like that. It gets difficult because it requires a certain level of precision that is really interesting.
Because that's what I was about to ask, because me and Monocule, I mean, I'm not the largest fan of the platforming in Little Big Planet. I've always had trouble with it. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if that got fixed with this Tearaway game.
So I think my theory for Little Big Planet is the reason that the floating in that, or the jumping in that game is so floaty is because of the fact that that game relies so heavily on user-generated content. If you built a game where every jump was pixel-perfect Mega Man style jumping, you would have to, like, be constantly, like, twitching over your user generated levels all the time to make them exactly perfect to fit those jumps.
Whereas, well, I don't think floaty, that's,
you can squeeze through.
I don't think that's necessarily true, because even floaty, you can still jump a certain height, and you still have to make sure that your jumps are attainable. So I mean, you can make platforming that feels solid and yet has user generated content. I mean, there's plenty examples of that. N. I mean, if you ever played N.
Where? What's an example of user generated content that uses
N plus? That's exactly what I just that's what I just said. N plus, exactly.
And that's Mega Man Universe.
That's very precise.
Fuck
yes,
you.
Mega Man Universe.
Get out of here.
I beat that game.
Get out of here, you piece of shit.
I beat that game. So hard it was never made.
Mike beat it.
I don't know.
And then they're like, we need to end this.
N Plus has other things, like other ways to interact with that world in a certain way of platforming that allow you to kind of get past that, though, because you can, like, in N Plus, you're bouncing off of walls and sliding and stuff like that. And this one is
so
just straight jumping. I'm not saying it was
so they should do that in Little Big Planet. Like, what's the excuse for making the platforming shitty in Little Big Planet?
I'm not trying to excuse Little Big Planet. I'm just saying, like, that's my theory for why it was the way it was. In this, though, none of the content is user generated, so it's all authored by them. And so they do run with a just standard Mario style jumping. Like, you jump, and then the jump you do is the jump that you make. That's it.
I think it was Ben Franklin who first said that.
Who first said,
no, it was
the jump
that
you do is the jump that you make.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was in the Declaration of Independence, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Third line.
Right, yeah.
Third line.
That was the whole concept behind the Boston Tea Party.
Yeah. Abraham Lincoln,
at least that's
the Boston
what Assassin's
Tea Party.
Creed told me. You just jump from building boat to boat, throwing barrels.
You never
Donkey
throw barrels.
Kong was
barrels
designed
are the
after
worst
Assassin's
part of that
Creed.
Game.
barrels
are fucking useless in Assassin's Creed 4. So, don't get me started on that.
So,
barrels.
Mike, what have you been playing, Mikey?
Well, I've been playing the recent hit, Star Wars Shadows of the Empire for the Nintendo 64.
sounds stupid.
Now I've been playing Path of Exile,
okay.
Otherwise known as Diablo 3.
Diablo free.
Yeah, it's like really good. I don't know if any of you played it. Anybody?
I know zero about Path of Exile, actually.
I mean, do you know anything about Diablo?
I know a little bit about it.
Did you play Diablo 2?
Just a little bit.
Blizzard.
Okay. Yeah, it's basically it's the more like hardcore style Diablo game that I think people were looking for out of Diablo 3, where like loot is meaningful and, you know, it's got like got darker tones. Plays really well, but the cool like unique thing about it is that rather than have skill trees, they have this huge elaborate map.
They have skill ferns.
Yeah, they have skill.
They have the sphere grid, right? Like they have the fucking Final Fantasy X sphere grid.
Basically, yeah. And you start like each character class starts at a different spot on that grid. Whoa. But as you level up, you just, you know, you grab yourself a new sphere and you carve a path of exile, if you will, through your shit to make your guy better.
Why is your guy exiled?
He did some shady shit. I think what
he says stuff like that.
Insider trading.
It
was all white collar crimes.
Well, yeah, check out my fan fiction where the main character of Path of Exile is actually, you find out that he was exiled for gold farming in Diablo 3, and so he went and said like, well, I'm going to make my own game that is that, and I'm going to call it Path of Exile because you exiled me. Fuck you guys.
That was the Pokemon crossover fanfic, right?
Please, Mike, slash fic. There is an accepted nomenclature to these fucking things, all right?
What was the question?
I was about to ask, like, I don't know why, but for some reason, I just think of like these roguelike elements. I'm putting air quotes around that. Is that any of that part of this game? Like, yeah, air quotes, roguelike.
I'm not gonna lie. I, to this day, still don't know what roguelike means.
Permanent death. So do you remember Rogue from X-Men?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, it's her.
No, you can come into physical contact with other human beings. It's okay.
But what about vampires? It is an action RPG, so you're only killing them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it is like Rogue. It is roguelike then.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, honestly, like if you're into Diablo, that's what it is. They borrow pretty much everything except for that there's no money in this game. It's everything is crafting materials, mm-hmm. and like when you sell an item, it gives you like it's good for certain crafting materials that you get out of it, and then those materials can be combined to make better materials, and then you can use those to enhance your items, or you can use them to buy other items from shops, which is, I mean, it's really kind of interesting because it's not, it eliminates gold farming. I mean, something that you can do. And the other really nice thing is that while it's free to play, there is absolutely nothing that you can purchase that'll give you an edge gameplay wise. Everything is cosmetic.
So it's not like one of those free to win games. Like
no, there's
some one of those.
There's no possible way to turn money into progress with Path of Exile, which is why it's to this day the only free to play game that I'll play.
I mean, I recently saw that it got like 2 million users or like unique people. Are you playing online with people or is there?
You can. Is it separate? You can. It's an online only thing. There's no offline mode. But I mean, you still like unless you are invited or you invite somebody, you're instanced. But when you go into town, you'll see other people running around.
All right, so it's like Guild Wars in that sense.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How do you feel about the free-to-play elements? Like, I am personally, like, a big fan of the Dota 2 model that Path of Exile seems to be using. Like, the cosmetic-only model seems great to me. But, like, I guess that people do make, even, like, in this industry, people make arguments for the, like, well, I don't have a lot of time, so I want to be able to spend money to get forward faster.
Yeah, and I'm okay with spending money to move forward faster, unless we're talking about games where unless we're talking about competitive games, if you don't have time to play a competitive game, just you don't get to play that game. That's the way the world works. Like, you know, I really want to be in the PGA tour, but I don't have time to learn to golf. Like, you know, that doesn't, I can't just like pay $20 and now I can golf good. Like, no, so I don't see why that makes sense in video games.
That's an F2P, free to putt.
Free butt. Yep.
Butt butt.
Yeah, so local butt. I don't. But I mean, if in like. In like an MMO, like maybe, I mean, if we're talking like Neverwinter, I can kind of see that. Like, you know, if you don't want to spend time grinding. But the problem with the other side of the coin there is that in order to encourage people to spend money to do that shit, they start making it harder to attain that stuff legitimately.
Right.
Which ruins it for me.
And that's the other thing, too. And I don't think there has been a psychological term coined for this yet, or at least if there is one, I haven't heard it. But... even if that game doesn't make things harder for you to get through in order to like goose you into spending more money, it will always feel like they're doing that, or at least you'll always be questioning yourself, like, are they actually just like goosing the difficulty to make this harder so that they can trick me into spending more money? And every time you die, it becomes a question of like, well, did I die because I'm not good enough, or did I die because the game is designed in such a way that I'm supposed to die?
Well, it's like those old shoot 'em ups that used to be like, oh, they want your quarters, so sometimes they just filled the entire screen with bullets or enemies or whatever, just so you basically die, so you put another quarter in. And that's how that transition happened between like the bullet hells and the classic arcade shooters, I believe.
Right.
And I don't know, I think even like time saving things like kind of bother me in video games. Like I would much rather have a video game. Like, I think Space Team has the perfect model for a free to play that is not cosmetic. Like, Space Team says, here's the game, here you can have it for free, but if you want to spend money, we will give you content for your money. We will not give you time boosters or like ways to change the base game that we already have. We will give you an expansion to that game, because that's how expansions used to work. It's just like, here's the full game, and now here's another smaller version of that full game for half the price. You know, here's StarCraft, here's StarCraft of the Brood War. And I think that model of single player free to play is great, but the idea of altering existing gameplay mechanics to change the flow of the game is just gross, and is probably one of the worst things about mobile games, period.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's creeping into, like, I mean, you look at the stuff that's happening with Forza and Gran Turismo 6 with it's horrible.
Look at the entire Xbox One launch lineup.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Other than LocoCycle, pretty much every first party Xbox One game has that shit in it. And for games that aren't free to play, games that are $60 goddamn.
Yeah, exactly.
And now, and I'm really, really, I mean, I don't really care that much in the terms of Forza 5 and Gran Turismo, because I don't play sim racing games, but I am really disappointed that Sony and Polyphony went the same route and followed that Forza bullshit. Like, oh, fuck that.
Yeah.
Although I'm not sure, I know in Forza there are literally cars that you can't
see with Drive Club. Earn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Drive Club, it sounds like, well, that Drive Club,
that's what
is,
I think,
literally free to play in a certain way, right?
Yeah. So we'll see. Like, I think it's free to play. Well, no one knows now that they're back to the PlayStation ones. Yeah.
I don't know.
Same thing with Watch Dogs. Like, Watch Dogs can be a mobile game when it comes out. Finally, oh, we scrapped everything, made it a flash game. Basically, made Dive Kick 2. It's weird.
Maybe we'll find out more info at the VGX this weekend.
Oh, that's right. The VGX.
So, yeah, so for those that don't know, we will be doing our annual it used to be the VGAs, but the VGX drunken live stream. So join us. Geez. I think it starts at 6 p.m. Eastern on Saturday.
On this Saturday?
Yeah.
This Saturday, yeah, dog.
This Saturday.
Oh, nice.
I cleared my schedule. Schedule.
This will be the first day in like years that I won't be working for the VGA. VGAs.
During the VGAs? Well, you could join us and get drunk.
I'm sorry, Mike Deli, the VGX, come on.
Correct. Yeah, they changed the format this year, right? Because it's no longer an award show. Now it's like one-on-ones with developers. And Jeff Keighley leads a host of wild and crazy characters from the gaming
universe.
That's
a beautiful voice you got there.
Jeff Goldblum.
You should coast it now.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cinnamon.
As long as Jeff Keighley does an interview with Dave Lang, I will call this entire effort worth it.
And like, here to announce the best JRPG of 2013, Beyonce.
That sounds like Casey Kasem. Your top 10 free-to-play shooters. Begins with Warframe.
He writes, "Dear Casey, I really like Zelda. When my mother
my wife died, left me because I couldn't stop playing.
But to me, the one thing I'm looking forward to...
This song goes out to my wife, and it's just like...
From little Billy to his love of his life, Amy.
Want to give a shout out, Amy?
And now presenting the award for accomplishment in writing, Lil Wayne.
Yeah, he gives it to himself.
Oh, yes.
Casey Kasem hosting the VGAs would be brilliant.
I would love it.
If he's still alive.
Who is hosting?
Well, let's bring Jamie Kennedy back.
You know, right? Jamie Kennedy.
The E3 Jamie Kennedy experience is one of the things I miss most about old shitty E3.
Don't worry, that'll be back eventually.
I'm pretty sure it won't. I'm pretty sure Jamie Kennedy is dead, so I don't think we have to worry about it anymore. Like that's who died today, right? Like I heard some guy died in Africa, and I'm pretty sure it was
no, that was James Paul Kennedy. Walker.
That's Paul.
Right.
They die in threes, man. Paul Walker, Nelson Mandela, and the guy who played Luigi.
I thought it was the guy who played Tails.
Whatever.
I thought it something happened to him.
Same guy.
Same difference. How awesome would a buddy cop game with Luigi and Tails be?
It's the year of Tails. 2014, the year
of Tails. It's like lethal weapon style, like buddy cop movie. Like,
I mean, it would have to be more like... I'm thinking more like Turner and Hooch, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Who's a fox?
What does the fox say?
In all seriousness, it...
What is this?
Fox.
Is this the improv hour at the local
Mario,
comedy club?
Mario,
Mario,
Mario, Mario, Mario. Oh,
hello,
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 Snake,
oh.
Snake,
Snake,
Snake. Snake!
Let's name other video game characters.
Peach!
Peach.
Oh, Trevor!
I don't know if that was good or not.
Trevor!
God, this has descended into chaos.
My impersonation of Yoshi.
Peach!
We're making a soundboard now.
Wow.
Right. Side questing, hey, your only guys, source for soundboard for video games.
Guys, in all seriousness, like let's just take it down for 1 second here. Let's get it serious for Casey Kasem once again. Kasem. It's kind of fucked up that Nelson Mandela died, right? Like that's
yeah. That's very fucked up. Right? It's fucked up that Paris Hilton thought that he was
Martin Luther King Jr. That was a fake tweet.
I think the real tragedy here is that he never got a chance to host the VGA.
That is a tragedy.
VGX.
Jeff Keighley had to change the entire program around.
He knew what was going to happen.
That said, I mean the guy was 95, so I guess it's not that super surprising. But it does kind of suck. I was literally talking about Nelson Mandela earlier today because Idris Elba is going to be playing Nelson Mandela in the biopic.
Yeah, I'm saying.
And I cannot think of a person who is more physically. Opposite of Nelson Mandela than Idris Elba.
This hulking man, basically.
Only if like a 300-pound Korean sumo would have been the only more opposite.
Yeah. No, like Idris Elba is like 9 feet tall and could crush my head with one hand. Like Nelson Mandela is this like
starring.
He looks like somebody's grandpa.
The Nelson Mandela biopic starring Yokozuna as Nelson Mandela.
I still maintain that I wanted to see Idris play the doctor.
That could eventually happen.
Yeah, Idris Elba would have been a great doctor. Yeah.
But, I think he'd be a great Green Lantern as well.
I mean, he can't fuck up any more than he did on Pacific Rim.
No, he did great in Pacific Rim. Fuck you.
Pacific Rim was amazing. That was
Pacific Rim's awesome.
I went into that movie wanting it to be bad, and they came through with flying colors.
That's true. Yeah, you're correct.
Now, it came out of the gate swinging.
Did you see the, somebody actually Photoshop Idris Elba onto the Green Lantern movie CGI uniform as John?
No,
Stewart?
What? No, yeah, I haven't seen this.
Somebody Photoshopped him. Is that Idris Elba retweeted it himself. He was just he was like, I love this idea. And somebody made a Photoshop poster of Idris Elba's head, really well done, photoshopped onto the CGI version of the Green Lantern uniform with the green eyes and everything. And it just says Reborn up at the top, or sorry, Rebirth at the top. As in Green Lantern.
Everything
Rebirth.
That's happening with this Man of Steel 2 movie, I can definitely see, hopefully something like that, because that would definitely bring up the spirits of that movie.
Yeah, I agree.
Or any prospects DC Universe has to make a Justice League movie.
How good's that Aero Jam?
That Aero Jam is fucking incredible.
It's phenomenal.
Let me rephrase that. It is fucking incredible for a CW show.
yeah, for a CW. It's good it is for the a most... show, period. But then the fact that it's on the CW blows my mind.
Yeah, no, the fact that it's on the CW is almost surreal.
they're not all angsty teens, angsty sarcastic teens on the show.
Didn't they just announce? They're
angsty sarcastic 20-somethings. But
yeah, I saw the clip of that. Oh, the Flash on the
Don't spoil it. I haven't seen that episode yet. So.
It's very Flash-esque.
Well, no, they're making a Flash show.
They are?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're going to spin it off with Barry Allen. They announced
the Wouldn't it be great? Just thinking about it. Wouldn't it be great if they brought back Dawson's dad to be the Flash? Nobody?
You might have just dated yourself, bro.
Dally, I don't think you may be a little confused. Barry Allen is actually the name of.
I know it is. I know it is. But it just brought back memories of Dawson's Creek's dad as the original Flash on TV.
Was he really?
Yeah.
But in the fucking with Mark Hamill, that Flash series,
the original Flash, what was it, the late 80s, early 90s?
In the early 90s, I think, where he wore a Russian diving suit.
Wait, Mark Hamill was the Flash?
Yes.
No. Mark Hamill was the trickster. He was in a three-part episode of the Flash TV series.
Oh, yes. God.
As a serial killer.
I want to see this.
God, I just want I want to be talking about Barry Allen right now. My life. You're ruining it for me.
Yeah, here was the suit that he wore. Can you see that?
Kinda.
No. Oh, it's beautiful.
No.
Is it an earthquake over there right now? Wait, is that the suit from the 90s?
That was suit from the 90s, yeah.
Yeah, that's the 90s suit.
That actually looks pretty legit.
Yeah.
That is the biggest cock piece. Cock piece.
Bigger than Superman Returns?
Look at that.
Oh my God.
Superman.
Stop, you're going to put your eye
out. Oh, that is pretty big.
It's at any given point, you can look out your window and see the Flash's dick. That's a true story.
It's a good thing I'm not recording this on my 3DS, or I would be blind right now.
Look at that thing. He had the biggest cock and balls. The Flash.
Oh, my God. I'm not gay, but that's looking pretty good. You know what I mean?
Oh, here's another great
ladies,
shot.
He's not single.
He's not single anymore, ladies. All right.
Anyway, the original Flash series was kind of legit, and Mark Hamill played the trickster, and he played a fucking serial killer, which is fucked up.
Don't get the Flash into the bedroom. He brings new meaning to the word speed force.
Jeez.
This is the worst. This is literally the worst episode.
So I'm new to the podcast. Does this usually happen? Okay.
No, usually we're
okay.
I hear that every night.
I'm not.
We're not just laconic.
John Wesley Shipp played the Flash in the early 90s, and he was Dawson's dad on Dawson's Creek. So there you go.
Oh my.
Oh, on that note,
hey, I thought fact checking was going to ruin this show.
Yeah, sorry about that.
What the fuck?
Anything else we want to talk about, guys? We didn't even talk about next gen stuff. We'll hold on to the next week for next gen.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah,
I can't. I don't really have anything to add for next gen because I'm on the Wii U, which is current gen.
There is no next gen. We're only in current gen now.
Hey, Dally, there will actually be a
next gen.
I don't want to fucking scare you or anything, but there will probably be a PlayStation 5.
Well, that's going to be up in the air if there's a next PlayStation or an Xbox.
No, son. I will bet you $100 right now that there will be.
They still got to get that PlayStation 9 out, right?
That's true. Yeah, you're right. The thought bubble.
Yeah, well, I don't have smell game based gaming yet, so like I don't understand what I'm supposed to do until nanites shoot up my nose.
Thanks, bro. You never sat in on a marathon session with me. I'll give you smell based gaming.
Dude, you gotta get that riff, son. Put on that riff, son. See what that does for you.
Is this Jay Z album right now? What is this?
Make him say Make him say Mario.
Mario.
Coming up next,
man. This side quest is exactly like I remember.
Yeah, no.
There hasn't been any yelling this side quest.
No, and remember, Mike. On most side quests, you were on. Eric was on the show, so at some point, something would have been called the worst thing ever, or something would be called dumb as shit.
300% ass. Is
still I can call something dumb as shit.
Yeah, you did actually.
I think I did at some point.
John, where can we find you if people want to hunt you down somewhere?
I don't want you can find me on Twitter.
You don't want this associated with your real name.
No, never. I'm actually changing my name code. After tonight.
Just give your friend code out and like nobody will be able to trace those. Those are actually probably untraceable.
4, 9, 8. No, I'm not going to give that. You can find me on 3, 6, 9. I'm trying to give my outro, yo.
My turn, step on me,
bro.
Good step. Come on. Turn, darkness.
You can find me at John Mad Ninja.
Did you just Twitter. Put an in there?
son. You can find me. I write about anime and manga over at allgeektome.net. I'm going to have a Mario review up soon and something else next week that I will be excited to tell people about.
Sounds good.
Find me there, son.
Mike the Trike Bachman, where can we find you?
You can find me at Mike the Trike. No, you can find you can find me at the Mike Bachman, where just tweet at me. I'm so lonely. I'll talk to you. I mean, if only I were single, right? I'd clean
if
up.
Only you were single. You used to hit on all those Twitterers.
Oh man, I just passed that 1,000 follower mark. Oh, I'm so excited. It's like you know, it's not a lot, but it's a decent number for me.
Yeah,
I got 150
for somebody who brings absolutely nothing to the table. 1,000 followers is phenomenal.
You have like the least meaningful e-penis anywhere. Steven,
how's your clout score? Like, that's the only thing
how's your clout score? Steven, clout score?
I think I have clout in, like, cucumbers and some shit. I don't even know.
Steven, where can we find you?
Let's see. My friend code is 462369. Damn, you're fine. A sucker, sucker. Oh, okay.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Get low.
Rock song, but yeah. Close. You can find me on Twitter at Steven Strom, StebenStrom. I'm usually not as terrible as I am on this show around these assholes, so there's that. And you can find me on sidequesting.com, obviously, where I write stuff. And I'm actually hoping to write some more stuff here in the next couple of days. So
cool. And you can find me at Coolrats, KEWLRATS. And that's it. And you can find us at SideQuesting or SideQuesting.com, which would be great. Please rate and review us because that helps get the word out there and stuff. And we're back. We're going to be recording more regularly. If you're listening to this before the VGX takes place, hop on SideQuesting. We'll try to figure out a way to get it working.
I forgot to mention one thing, Dally. Sure. Can we take like a couple seconds to talk about me for a second?
Yeah. Of course.
Plug.
What?
Everything. Guys, listen to me travel into the past. It's gonna be awesome. Watch me as I approach this black hole's event horizon.
I told you we were gonna talk about me for a minute.
I'm gonna put on the time belt and just go for a ride.
What were you saying, Stephen? We totally missed everything you said.
I just forgot to mention that that character we've been maligning, and like the fucking guy we've been slandering all night, Aaron Smith. I do a podcast with him every Sunday, a live morning radio show called Stephen Eric's Lazy Sunday Gaiden. And in it, we talk about basically like this, except like way less misogynist and racist. We just kind of talk about
so much less fun.
Like on our latest episode, we talked about our debut episode, we talked about like peanut butter PB crisps, which were like those peanut butter cookie crackers that Planners put out for a while. So there's, stuff like that we talk about, but we occasionally talk about video games and video game news and stuff. And we're going to be recording some video here soon of ourselves playing the Star Trek video game. So you can keep an eye out for that kind of thing. I think we're on iTunes now. So yeah.
Sounds good. That's it, everybody. We'll see you guys next time. See you at the VGX. See you when we see you.
What does the X stand for?
Experience.
Video games.
I can't wait.
They can't even spell experience right.
I can't wait for the VGXXX.